Dig It, sponsored by Shillaga Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates.
It's time to talk about all things plants, and particularly this morning, we're talking about herbs. We've got a great, very herby present to give away, a gift, a competition this morning. But Hester's here to answer all of your gardening questions. You can send them in. So why are we talking about herbs right now, Hester?
It's a great time to get out there and plant them. And in fact, the garden centres are packed with them right now.
Oh, I see. So we're going to be looking at where to grow them, which ones to choose for your garden space and the situation. So if you have never tried growing herbs before, which ones are the easiest ones for beginners, please, Hester?
So I think the way to find something easy is to make sure your plant suits the situation. And by which I mean, like, is it sunny? Is it shady? Is it dry? Is it damp soil? And so let's start off with the easy ones for sunshine. And I'm going to start with my absolute favourite, which is rosemary. I've got one right here. So they have narrow leaves that look a little sort of conifery slightly. At this time of the year, they're quite floppy and soft and they harden up. And the older leaves tend to be solider. It's an evergreen, so it looks like this all year round. I'm going to pass it over to you so you can have a good sniff.
Oh, go on.
Squish the leaves a bit.
Oh, you've pre-squished.
Pre-squished leaves.
Oh, that smells so good. I used to have a huge pot of this on a balcony a while ago, and you could really smell it as you walked out.
Yeah.
It did last quite a while until I forgot to water it.
Oh, never mind. But that is actually one of the great things about rosemary. It loves being in a pot. And it will last in a pot for years and years and years and years and years, and really doesn't mind some fairly rough treatments.
It looks pretty too. It gets quite bushy. And because it's an evergreen, it's nice to have just in a pot and tucked in the corner of you.
I think they're beautiful, and I think they're actually quite a useful alternative to box if you would not previously have grown box in a pot, to give a kind of bit of evergreen definition. They're absolutely fantastic. Now, there's loads of different varieties. There's a prostrate one, which more or less is ground covering. It's a very upright one as well. Or there's just the ordinary ones, can actually get to about 1.5 metres tall and wide. They're quite big.
Fun fact though, rosemary has just changed its name. How is this a thing?
Ah, yes. So there's an international nomenclature association or conservation group. And basically they use DNA information about the plants, and they also use descriptors, like what does it look like? And it made more sense to put rosemary in with the salvia family, the sage family, than it did to let it stay in on its own, because that would have made a mess of the rest of the salvia family.
Oh, I see. That's why it's all updated.
So
it can grow to be quite tall.
Yeah.
I've got a load of this at the moment that's dried out as well. How long is it going to keep if it's dried out?
At least a couple of years. To eat, you mean?
Yeah, to
eat. Couple of years. Yeah.
Nice.
I really like it because you can use it fresh, you can use it dried. It does actually freeze as well. Not all herbs freeze, but this freezes quite nice, quite nicely. Some of them go a bit black and ick if you freeze them, but it freezes really well. So if you've got an absolutely massive shrub and you want to hack it back, just chop the bits off, hang them upside down so it dries, and then you can use them for a couple of years.
That's amazing. And you can add some sprigs of it to olive oil. You can make your own infused oil.
I've also seen infused vinegars.
Nice.
Which is absolutely delicious. I did try some rosemary salt quite recently, and that was delish.
Is that with tiny chunks of it in?
Yeah. And the whole, all of the salt was infused, those wonderful essential oils, which I'm rubbing a piece between my fingers in an absent-minded sort of fashion. And that's the smell you get. It's absolutely delicious. And you use it as a rub onto all sorts of things as well. It's absolutely gorgeous. I love it.
We are pro-rosemary. Let's move on and talk about some of the other herbs that you brought in today.
So I have another of these little shrubby, evergreeny things. And this is a thyme. Thymes tend to have little teeny tiny leaves. You can have ground covering ones, Thymus serpulum, or you can have more upright ones like this. Now have a sniff of that.
All right,
have a sniff
of that. I'm just going to compare these. Oh yeah, that's good.
Isn't that lovely?
I love rosemary though. It's difficult to compare anything after that.
I know. Yeah. And but okay, sniff them together.
Okay, wait.
Okay,
wait a minute.
This.
The blend.
That's
nice.
It's lovely, isn't it? Wouldn't they be lovely in a pot together? And amazingly, they really like the same conditions.
Okay, so both of them like sunny.
Yeah, fairly well drained. Don't need to water too often. About once a week is about right. I would have suggested your least favourite plant, a lavender, but I won't. I'm not even going to mention the L word. We're just going to move on.
Lots of people love lavender. I'm starting to like the way that it smells. I just don't like the colour purple, but I am starting to like the way that it smells.
Are you?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man.
I think my tastes are changing.
That'll be it. You'll be into Beethoven next. It'll be over. So thyme's absolutely fabulous. So they're great for things like rockeries, fantastic in pots. And there's loads of different varieties. So one of my favourites is a lemon thyme, Thymus citriodorus, which is absolutely gorgeous. And it's really distinctively lemony. It's lovely little plant.
So how is thyme lemony?
The leaves smell really, really citrusy. They're absolutely beautiful. And it's nice. So obviously you can use it as you would in any other thyme recipe or anything like that. But actually you can also use them to flavour desserts. You can use it, mix it with sugar and make thyme sugar. Oh, it's absolutely lovely.
I like the idea of moving herbs into my sweet nibbles like
yeah.
that. I think that
well, the
would
Elizabethans
be...
did a lot. And actually that idea of it having something that's got a bit of a deep bass note to it as well as having a sort of sweet hit to it is really very interesting. I think they're lovely.
So let's talk about sage, because yeah. you have a sage plant in front
of you. I
have
a little sage plant. So some people really don't like sage, and I think it's quite a strong taste, and I suspect they've probably had dishes with way too much sage in them. I have a little feeler that I love them.
Okay.
I like the softness of the leaves. They're often used in sensory gardens or children's gardens because they're not spiky. And if you take a loop or even actually the zoom on your phone and have a look at the leaves, they're absolutely beautiful close to. They've got covered in little dots, little hairs. And it's another indication. They're all slightly greyish in colour that they'll do fine in hot, dry situations. So slightly hairy leaves help it to stop losing water in hot situations. So you really don't need to water it very often.
I don't know who said that the rosemary looks like a sage. They look nothing like each other, but
no,
all right.
But you're just going to have to accept that the international literature people have decided that's where it is. So interesting, so the Latin name for sage is salvia, which means heal or salve all. And it was used for dozens and dozens and dozens of different complaints from the Romans onwards. But it does have antiseptic properties. It does have antiviral properties. So if you do have a sore throat, you can make yourself a sage tea, use it as a throat wash, or you can also use it on cuts and grazes. It's a really useful plant. It's a very lovely plant.
How on earth would you use it? You've got here about stomach aches as well. How on earth would you use it for stomach? Is it
tea?
Like in a
Take
tea?
It as a tea, yeah.
Incredible. Yeah. When those start growing, though, and if they're in a very happy place...
You can get a bit big.
Yeah. So how do we deal with that?
So just chop them back at the end of the summer if they get a bit leggy. And honestly, you can be quite brutal.
All right. End of the summer is the time to do that. Let's talk about bay.
I love bay, but it does get absolutely whopping. It's great. It's called Laurus nobilis, which is a wonderful name, noble laurel. But it's also called Grecian laurel, laurel, bay laurel or sweet laurel. So I would definitely make sure you're planting and eating the right one. You don't want to be eating hedge laurel.
Don't get confused.
That's not the same thing at all. It is quite big, 3 to possibly 5 metres. That's quite large. Another evergreen, beautiful, these fragrant, glossy leaves. But I would say look out for one as a standard, like a lollipop in a pot, because they tend to, obviously they're not going to get enormous.
Mm.
Very good in a pot, very nice in the garden. You have to think of, you know, a London doorstep with a pair of them either side of the door, That's exactly what you use. They can, however, lose big chunks if it's very cold, particularly in cold winds. But they usually recover the following spring. And don't do as I did one year, dig it up because you thought it was dead and then find it sprouting new leaves on the compost heap.
Very resilient, which is what we like when we're trying to keep gardening simple. So that's sunny situations. We looked at rosemary, thyme, sage and bay. Very good in sunshine. Now, what if you've got an area that is more mixed sun and shade?
Yeah, see, I'd say try some chives. I've got some chives right here, which look like the messiest hair day anybody has ever had, ever. And it's described as having a light garlic fragrance. And it does. I'd say it smells more like leaves at the moment. It's slightly garlicky.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. Yep,
yeah,
definitely.
Brilliant. If you don't want to put garlic into something, so you can chop them raw. That's just quite useful. You can chop them raw into salads or you can put them in omelettes. They're very nice in sauces or in soups as well. And you can eat them from this stage when they barely look like grass, the stage they're at the moment, right up to when they're really quite big and fat.
Now, the chives reminds me, though, and I don't know about all of these plants, but chives reminds me to say that not all of these are safe to have if you've got pets. I've got a cat that is very into nibbling a lot of my plants. Now, spider plants, they are his particular favourite, probably because they're just easily accessible. But I remember one time when he got a little nibble on a chive and his whole mouth got very swollen. And I worried, but then I looked up chive and I realised that that's what it was. It was an allergic reaction. So just...
Chives, not for cats.
Chives are not going to be something that I can take into my house, unfortunately.
No, so sadly.
Let's carry on. What else have we
how
got?
How about some mint? Mint
love
doesn't
mint.
Love mint. It's an absolute all-time thug, though. It will escape. It's described in Christopher Lloyd's wonderful book, Gardener Cook, as a plant that likes to travel, which it does. Mine escaped from a flower bed and is now underneath all of the paving stones on one section of my terrace. And it's lovely because we always have mint for drinks. And it's rather nice because if you tread on a piece of it, you get that wonderful mint fragrance. I'm quite keen on it. I'm aware that other people might think that's a bit of a weird thing to have.
So mint itself, another one, and chai. We've got more suggestions coming up. Stay with us talking about herbs this morning for Dig It.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Hester, we've got a great prize to give away courtesy of Shilliger Garden Centre today. What are we giving away?
We are giving away a kitchen windowsill arrangement with three aromatic plants like, I don't know, basil, parsley and chives, say.
Oh, for example.
For example.
Basil, parsley and chives would be fantastic. Could be other plants. It could be other, well, herbs. Always herbs. Yeah. That's the theme of our show today. It will be available for collection from the Glant store. That's what we're giving away. And I will just throw in there as well that you could even pick it up on a Sunday because they're open throughout spring on Sundays now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's just worth making a little mental note. So what are we going to ask if people would like to get into the draw to win that windowsill arrangement of various different herbs?
How about name that herb?
Name that herb. We're just going to ask you, just name any herb. Yeah. In fact, just send it in, studio@worldradio.ch, 939 on the text. Start your message off with WRS. Just name a herb, any herb, to get into the draw. Honestly, could we make this any simpler?
We'd like you to win.
Any of the herbs we've mentioned, any of the ones we're about to mention, just repeat them back to us.
They're fine.
So we've looked at some really, let's just call them beginner herbs, beginner plants. Have you got any suggestions for something more unusual? Let's go beyond the thyme, sage, rosemary, etc. What else we got?
Anything that's not in a song, maybe. Parsley, sage, rosemary and thyme. No, we're not going to do those. So, you might know I do guided tours at the Chateau de Pronchat, and one of the herbs that people are always really very taken aback by is hyssop. Now, hyssop's a very old plant. It's mentioned in the Bible, it's used by the Greeks, very popular in the Elizabethan period. It's a very unusual taste. It's a shrubby perennial, so it keeps its leaves in all but, I'd say, the coldest of winters. It starts looking a bit floppy and sad if it gets very cold.
Okay.
Has stunning deep purple blue flowers in kind of mid to late summer. Bees go completely nuts for it, which is fabulous. And I would describe the flavour as somewhere between mint and licorice. It's a really, really unusual flavour. It's delicious. If you like quite sweet, tasty flavours, it's a really unusual, interesting flavour. I absolutely love it. You can put it in salads, you can use it in soups, very, very nice in desserts as well, often served with fish as well, because it kind of imparts an interesting, slightly dill, aniseedy flavour with a bit of mint, which is fabulous. Amazing with new potatoes and a bit of butter,
right?
For example, perhaps.
And it likes what kind of area? Are we talking sun?
So it's super happy in part shade or sun. It's the world's easiest plant. You just stuff it in, grate in a pot, fab in the ground, doesn't mind the massively heavy clay soil that we have here. It's terrific plant.
Easy peasy.
Yeah, I love it.
Love hyssop. Let's have another look at something else. Again, something else that's bee friendly.
I love borage. Now, borage is another one of those plants that does travel a little bit, not with underground runners like mint, but because it reseeds itself. It's a gift that keeps giving and just keeps giving. But it's lovely. So it has these beautiful bright, bright blue flowers, which are edible. You can put them in salads. You can put them with dessert. Very, very good in drinks. Very commonly used in pims instead of cucumber because it tastes quite cucumbery. Now, I've heard it described as the poor man's oyster. I don't like oysters because I think they're revolting.
But, don't hold back. Tell us how you feel, Hester.
But sit on that fence. But it is very cucumbery. So if you don't want to put cucumber in something because it's going to go squishy, like in a drink, then these would be a great idea. And you can eat the leaves as well. They're slightly hairy, so I'd chop up the older ones or try to use the younger ones as well. Bees go nuts for it. So it's really great if you want to create a nectar bar, for example, to help to attract pollinators into your garden. This would absolutely be one of the mainstays.
What's this one called again?
Borage.
Borage.
Yeah, it's a great word, isn't it? Its Latin name is borrego and its French word is bourrache. So I think that all three are definitely linked.
Let's take a look at something that's a bit more savoury.
Yes, actually, I have a savoury in front of me. So there's two sorts of savoury. There's summer savoury, which is what this one is. I'm going to let you have a little squish of that. It's not the tidiest of plants. It looks like a sort of messy dill, perhaps. It's a bit floppy and flippy. I'm hoping you're not going to be allergic to it because I was going to suggest you had a little taste of it. It's quite spicy. The leaves are quite spicy. So this is the summer savoury. There's a winter savoury, which is one of its cousins, which looks like a cross between kind of thyme and oregano or something like that. It's quite low growing, beautiful pink flowers, and it's fully evergreen. So it survives all winter.
This is just called savoury.
Yeah, I'd never come across it till I moved here. And a Canadian friend kept talking about savoury, and I thought she'd lost her mind. No, it is an actual plant.
What's it called in French?
Sarriette.
Excellent.
Sarriette. Right. And it's very, very easy. So the summer one is an annual. So buy it now, either from seed or buy it as a plant, like this in front of us. Or you can get the winter savoury and put it in and you don't need to replace it. It'll just keep going. It's absolutely lovely. It's really quite spicy.
I really can't actually
smell
describe
anything off it.
It smells like lemon, mint and sage all together.
Yeah, that's a great description. Can you smell pineapple in there?
What? Let me hang on. Wait. I mean, if you tell me something, I can probably smell anything in it. No, I can't smell
pineapple.
No pineapple. But the rest of them, yes.
Yeah, definitely. It's a really unusual thing. And it's one of those things that people don't, you might not pick up because you don't know what it is or you don't know how to use it. I say get it and try it in lots of different recipes. I think it's an absolute cracker.
The thing is, though, I've tried to grow a basil plant at home and it died after a couple of, well, maybe a month or two. I kept it alive. But are all of these plants that we're looking at today easy
super
enough?
Super robust, yeah. It's why we haven't mentioned basil, actually.
Right, because basil is
basil's
a toughie.
Basil's actually a bit difficult, I think.
Because it's one of the most delicious.
It is delicious. You tend to use a lot of volume.
Yeah.
If you're making pesto, you're going to denude complete your plant.
Mm.
I find it quite difficult. I think it's because you need to get the water levels just right. It needs to be damp but not soggy. It needs just enough light. I would say basil is either treat it as a short-lived plant that maybe you're going to get a month out of it.
Yeah.
Or just assume that it's going to be difficult. So do try moving it around to try and get the right balance for it. I would also say, given that we aren't yet at the magic ice saints days, which are the 11th, 12th and 13th of May, which is our theoretical last frost date. We may have a last frost date way before that, but our theoretical last frost date is that mid-May point. You shouldn't put basil or coriander or pepper plants or aubergines or cucumbers or anything else like that outside before that date, because if they get frosted, they will go black and possibly die.
They are goners.
Mm.
All right.
And that's sad.
What are some of the most difficult ones to grow for those who are listening thinking, puh, I need a challenge. Don't give me simple.
This year I'm going to do some lemongrass. And I'm going to do ginger as well.
Love a challenge. All right.
Yeah. You're
growing both of them from a piece?
From bits what I got in the shops.
Okay.
So if you buy lemongrass, sometimes you can see they've still got roots on them.
Mm.
And you can re-root it in water.
I see.
So just stuff it in water like you would with
a
lucky bamboo. In a glass. Yeah.
Right.
Keep the water clean. And within a couple of weeks, you should see a lot of root growth. Put it carefully into some well-drained soil and keep it damp-ish and you will get more.
All right, great.
Hester, cool.
Coming up in just a moment, we're going to take a little look at some of your questions that you've been sending in. Thank you very much. You can keep them coming in, studio@worldradio.ch. We'll try our best to get through as many of them as we can. You're listening to Dig It.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
We got some questions coming in for Dig It, like Dom, who says, I'd like to try growing a herb spiral. Which herbs are best for this? Hester, what's a herb spiral?
They're very popular in kind of community gardens, and it's a way to incorporate a wildlife-friendly thing, so because lizards and all sorts of things can go in and out of them. So you can either build them out of pots and you literally start on the ground and work up like a spiral and put plants in pots, or you can build them out of rocks, which is the way they're usually done. You pack the middle of this kind of new modern rockery in a spiral with soil and you put plants in the gaps.
Right. What herbs are best for it? Let's help Dom out.
I'd go back to our first principle of right plant, right place. Put the things on the sunny side that like sun. So mm-hmm. things like oregano, thyme, lavender, sage, things like that. And on the shady side, I go for parsley, tarragon maybe, chives, even, dare I say it, some coriander.
Ooh, okay. Mm. We've also got a question from Philippa who said, I'd like to plan ahead for teachers' gifts at the end of the year. I saw some great ideas on Pinterest for mojito planters. Nice. Or hot spicy planters. Do you have any suggestions for good combos that won't cost the earth and will be good in June?
So there's actually a mint variety called Mojito.
Yeah.
Which is, it's supposed to be the best for making mojitos, partly because it's got a nice lemon taste to the mint. So it's a lemony mint. It's very, very nice. But if you can't find that, I'd say maybe try combining a couple of different types of mint, say a spearmint and an ordinary mint and a basil plant, because actually a little hint of basil in a mojito is really fantastic. So I'd say get the plants now while they're quite small and relatively available. Don't put them outside yet, particularly the basil. The mints will be okay outside, but the basil won't. Get your kid, if they're the right age, to decorate the pot with, you know, best teacher ever or whatever you're going to put on it. Nice. Or do it yourself, because it's quite fun and there are a million ideas on Pinterest for decorating flower pots for teachers' gifts. Pot them up in sort of mid-May and put them outside to fill out. Water regularly and feed. And I say for the spicy one, knock yourselves out. There are so many really hot spicy pepper plants around. So I'd put one of those in and combine it with maybe some basil or some really spicy oregano or maybe some of the savoury we're looking at, which will give you a real kick throughout the summer.
We've got a question from Patrick who said, I have a difficult slope in front of our terrace. It's really hot. The grass suffers. It's hard to cut. Are there any herbs that I could use instead? They need to be able to deal with the occasional football or enthusiastic dog.
Well, yes, I fully understand that particularly tricky situation. So there's actually loads of herbs that would do really well on a hot, sunny slope. Think of all of the kind of south of France garrigue plants that do super well in these conditions. Things like any of the thymes, any of the artemisias, rosemary, lavender, anything like that would be super, super happy and really won't mind the occasional dog or football.
We're going to go off topic because we've got a little bit of time. So Judy has emailed in saying, I've had to move two indoor plants. They're both palm types onto a veranda. It's cold, not freezing though. And I know that plants don't like these sudden temperature changes. Sure enough, most of the leaves started to turn brown and die. I cut off the ones that were in the worst shape. I left the others. I added new soil and fertilizer. I've given them a good watering. One of them has since sprouted two new leaves. Looks like it's starting to recover. But the other one, which has a bunch of thin leaves at the tip of a long, thin trunk, think like a mop, has turned slightly brown and hasn't sprouted any new leaves. Is there any hope that the second one will recover?
I'd say give it another couple of weeks before you completely lose heart and go to Shilliger and buy its replacement. I'd say it may yet recover. It may be sulking. Like you say, you're quite right. Plants really don't like temperature changes. They don't like being moved at all, whether they're indoor plants or not. Plants don't like being moved. So I'd say hang on in there. Don't lose hope and let us know how you get on.
Okay. So is there hope? Yes, there's hope. But at the same time, we'd like to stay posted. And lastly, this one again, not quite related, but this came in from Henk this morning. And because we've got some time, I'll let him ask his question.
I had an extension built, actually. So I do have a question. I've got these lovely olive trees, but the problem is the olive trees are a little bit too close to the house now. and I would like to move them, but I don't know whether that will damage them. So if we could get some advice around, it sounds like a first world problem that I say it, to be honest with you, but some advice on that would be absolutely lovely.
Go on then, let's help you out, Hank.
So the usual answer to that is it depends. Annoyingly, sorry, Hank. It depends how big they are. So if they're probably bigger than a couple of metres, tall and wide, you're going to need a digger to dig them up and move them.
Have these got really long, extensive roots then?
Well, if they're right by the house, they will on one side, but not on the other side, I should think. I'd say give it a go, because if they really are too close to the house and you're not enjoying their presence and they're not happy, then move them.
Then you might as well.
You may as well. I would say you probably missed the window for this growing season. Wait till October or November in the autumn when, although they're evergreens, they're not going to be in active growth. Move them then and hope for the best and water them really well the following spring, because that's when they're going to be suffering from drought.
And it's really a digger job. It's not you with a spade.
Not least because they're going to be really heavy.
That seems valid. Hester, thanks very much for tackling all of these questions. We'll come back with some back-on-topic reviews about different herb-related books and also some different events that are happening now.
Dig It, sponsored by Schillinger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Schillinger, let your inspiration grow.
We're talking herbs and we've got lots of your entries coming in for the herb arrangement that's generously given to us as a prize today by Schillinger Garden Centre. You'll be able to pick it up. If you win, you'll be able to pick it up as of this weekend. A little reminder that you might even be able to go and pick it up on a Sunday if you're available, of course, because they are open on Sundays now right the way throughout spring. So, hey, what a bonus. If you want to get into that draw, just send us the name of a herb, any herb. It's as simple as that. So, for example, I've got, let's have a look, Jean, who said echinacea, one of my favourite herbs, pretty and medicinal. I've got Ashish, who says lemon balm is my favourite. It's the easiest herb to grow. It's nearly impossible to kill. Isabel says rosemary. We've got Anne, who said chives, but now I've heard you, I'm going to try hyssop. We've got lemony thyme, it says Corrine, and rosemary is my favourite, says Jennifer. Loads of your messages coming in. And my favourite message this morning, though, is John, who said, listening to you and Hester this morning on my walk to work inspired me to buy some seeds, parsley, rosemary and thyme, because the local supermarket didn't have sage. Thanks for a great show again. John, we've inspired you. I love this. Best of luck with growing those new acquired seeds that you've got. Let's take a little look, Hester. You've got some great book recommendations that are very on topic for us today.
Yeah, so I've got a couple of suggestions and I've got maybe a visit and a website to look at as well. Should we do the books first? I would say the first one is by David Squire and it's called The Herb Garden Specialist. So it gives you a lowdown on probably 40 different types of herbs, growing conditions, how far apart you need to plant them, can you do them in pot, do they need to be in the garden? But also there's a really excellent section on, do you want to make a herb garden? Do you want to do a herb border? What to do if you've only got pots? It's a very, very good, very practical approach. And the other one is called All About Herbs by Roger Tabor, T-A-B-O-R. You'll find it, it's not in print, but you will definitely pick it up secondhand or from the book depository or somebody like that. And it's got loads and loads of applications. So things that you can use herbs in that you might not have thought of.
Are either of these kind of coffee table books or are they more like you tuck them away, they're very practical?
The Roger Tabor is beautiful. The photography is absolutely lovely. The other, David Squire, is just practical.
Right, got it.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Events that might help you with some kind of inspiration.
So I am delighted to find out that Les Bucoliques is running from the 28th to the 30th of April in the gorgeous, gorgeous setting of the Abbey of de Salas in Olon. And there are loads of specialists, including some herb specialists. So you might get a little bit of inspiration there. And they've got plants, they've got honey, they've got loads more. So look them up on lesbucoliques.ch for opening times and prices. Very cheap to get in. I think it's £6 on one day and £8 on the other day. Bring cash, because they don't take cards on the gate and lots of the people who are selling are very, very small producers and don't take the cards either. So bring cash.
Good tip.
Bring cash in a box, I'd say.
Later in May, that's, I mean, I say later, less than a month away.
A little
we've
bit
got.
Later. So the 6th and 7th of May is the Fête des Plantes at the Arboretum in Aubonne. Lots of our favourite specialists, people like Remy Yagi, are going to be there with all of his beautiful perennials. There will also be a herb specialist there at that. And it's also just a really nice time to go to the Arboretum. It's looking absolutely fabulous. Loads of specialists, lots of lovely plants. Go and look on arboretum.ch.
Special news for today?
Hey, the Coppé Flower Shops is back. We're very excited about this. So the Coppé Flower Show was something of an institution for many, many, many years in the grounds of the Château de Coppé, which is a beautiful setting. Loads of really great specialists for furniture, for plants, for sculptures, all sorts of things. And it stopped just before COVID and is going to restart in a fairly small fashion on the 12th, 13th and 14th of May. Stick it in your diary now. We'll have more details of who's going to be showing in our May show.
Fantastic. Hester, thanks very much for telling us all about herbs, for inspiring us and for bringing in a ton of plants as well. Thank you so much. Hester, this has been Dig It. Thank you.
Dig It, sponsored by Schillinger Garden Centre in Gland and Plan-les-Ouates. Schillinger, let your inspiration grow.